over at bangthebook.com. We are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Tons of stuff posted over there here for the College Football Bowl week, including or conference championship week, excuse me, including my college football power ratings. We'll have NFL power ratings tonight or tomorrow from Danny Vorgs with his model projections for week 14, daily NBA and college basketball stuff. And of course, every day over at bangthebook.com, Parker Michaels' NHL picks, analysis, lineup updates, starting goaltenders, really phenomenal resource there from Parker. So make sure you check that out. Finally, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. BTB and the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino. At BetDSI, it's only a game until you bet it. Two guests on the program here today, and we start with professional handicapper Brian Leonard from WagerTalk.com. Brian, how's it going today, brother?
Hey, everything is going great. It's good to be here.
Good to have you back on the program as always here, sir. And let's go ahead and start on the hardwood. Usually you and I talk a lot of gridiron, college football, and the NFL. We will do that here on today's segment. But we start in the NBA. And anything new, anything you've noticed since the last time we talked about the association?
I've noticed something about the Golden State Warriors. When you take a look at I chart leads in the game and your average lead. And Golden State's one of those teams that starts the game. If they're in the game, they play the game the entire way out. If they're down at halftime, they tend to pull back the reins, let some of the lesser players play. And so Golden State gets blown out more than anybody else in the league. And we saw it the other night when they played at Atlanta with a 10-game losing streak. The line was a little bit inflated on Atlanta at 6.5. And we saw why is Atlanta was in a situation where they had finally had a chance to beat somebody. And they played a team in Golden State who, once they fall behind, tend to get blown out. And it happened, and Atlanta wins that game easily. So that's something I want to keep in mind of when live betting the Golden State Warriors is either playing against them in the second half if they're behind, or playing a second half play or play live betting against Golden State.
Is that something that you notice a lot when teams are getting blown out at the half? They tend to just kind of pack it in, or are there some teams that, you know, do kind of step up and make the adjustments?
Well, for example, on the season, I rate, I go by and I use the average lead in the game. And so far this season, Golden State has had the average lead. They've led for the majority of the game 8 times, and 14 times they've been behind. But when you add up all of the numbers, they're down 241.8 is the average, which is huge. It's like the next worst team is like the Cavaliers, like 130. So they're at least 100 points worse than the Cavaliers in basically 21 games, 22 games. So it's a team that you could definitely bet against as the game goes on, because they don't seem to either have the comeback ability, or they know they're so short on depth that they don't even bother. If they're out of a game, they say, okay, this one's done. But most teams have that ability, but it's one, you know, Golden State is by far, for example, the Milwaukee Bucks, at least to me, are the best team in the NBA right now, especially with the schedule they play in the East. But they're up 148.5 points, whereas Golden State's down to 241.8. So they're 100 points worse than the Milwaukee Bucks are good, and Milwaukee's a team that's on a tremendous winning streak.
Here's something that I'm kind of interested about here. As we take a little bit of a look at Wednesday night's card, the biggest line on the board, 8.5, that is Milwaukee on the road at Detroit. Detroit in a back-to-back. I figured that would be a little bit of a tough spot for them last night against Cleveland, with maybe some look-ahead factor to Milwaukee. Obviously, that not the case at all whatsoever. But you know, as far as looking at the market here, I mean, aren't there key numbers in the NBA? Are there some things that you try to target, you know, maybe getting a half point above, a half point below?
Well, there really aren't key numbers. You know, there's 7, meaning if a team is up by more than 7 points, chances are the opposition's not going to foul. 3, I guess, would be another one, and then obviously 1 from the team being behind in the game. They're slightly more important, but really, you know, if you were to buy points, you would end up losing. It's a bad proposition to do that. I know some professional bettors do buy certain numbers in basketball. I don't. I just don't think there's anything out there worth the 10 cents. But I have seen, so there's some guys out there that have found a little bit of an edge, but it can't be more than a point or a penny or so in my regard.
Now, what about trying to determine which way a line is going to move? Do you have any sort of shortcuts, any sort of advice for our listeners in terms of trying to get out there in front of the market?
Yeah, if Pinnacle or Heritage, who Pinnacle and Heritage both use about 5 cent lines, as opposed to the 10 cent for the rest of the places. If you see a number going down, that's what you want to take a look at. For example, Gold State and Charlotte. Just about everybody's got Charlotte -3, -110, Heritage -105, Pinnacle -102. So it's a slight lean to Golden State or a slight lean to Golden State at Pinnacle. So if I'm lucky to play Charlotte, instead of laying the 3 right now, I may hold back and hopefully catch a 2.5 later on. That's the kind of thing I look for. The places with the lower juice are going to take more money and they're going to take bigger bets. So those are the ones that you want to pay attention to. The best thing out here in Vegas is we've got a lot of slow places that don't move until the offshores move. So, you know, I was at Stacey's Casino yesterday. And obviously the Lakers were playing, but Denver was playing the Lakers. And Denver was the 2, where everywhere else it was a 2.5. So if you're looking to play, you know, against the Lakers, you could lay half a point less in town because there's so many Lakers fans, and the Lakers are a popular team out here.
I guess one other question here from a market entry standpoint. You know, we see a lot of overnight line moves. That's something that's definitely a factor in both the NBA as well as college basketball. When else are you looking for line movements? I mean, you know, are we sort of waiting for confirmation that everyone's going to play? Then you get some activity right before game time. But when does the market kind of, you know, see some more activity and light up a little bit more?
It lights up for the most part about an hour before the game when the final, you know, injury reports are out. You know, but the problem with injury reports is there's 2 or 3 of them that I get, and half the time they differentiate. Last night, Toronto, the point guard was supposed to be out. So I get ready for the point guard to be out. All of a sudden, I get into the casino, and I just happen to be in there having dinner, and I look up, and, you know, they're playing full. Everybody's playing. So that's the problem is – You get these little bumps up and down all day long when somebody gets some injury information, but until it's final, you really don't know. And you know that was probably 1.5 point, 2 point player for Toronto that you know you might have gotten an edge on by waiting to the last minute, although they ended up losing the game. But I get real frustrated in between that and the rest situation where they're resting guys because of wanting to keep them healthy for the season. That's a pain in the ass. But if you were to just wait till the last minute of the day to place your bets in because of that, if you're selling picks, you're not giving your clients any chance to shop for the best line. So there's a lot of speculation going around in the overnights and early in the day.
All right, so as we look at this Wednesday night card here, I believe we got, 10 games on the board here for this evening, 9 or 10. Anything that you do like here on tonight's slate?
Yeah, there's a few that I have an interest in. I haven't released anything as of yet, but we talked about the Bucks. The Bucks are one of those teams that you take a look at their schedule. 7 of the last 8 games, they've been a double-digit favorite. The only game they didn't was against Utah. They played Detroit here. But then they play the Clippers. They host the Clippers on Friday. So they've got a one-game situation where they travel to Detroit. I watched that Detroit game yesterday against Cleveland. A lot of the Detroit starters got to rest because of the big lead in that game. Detroit's a team that's fully healthy now. They expect to be fully healthy tonight for this game against Milwaukee. And I think it could be a little bit of a sandwich spot or a little letdown spot here for Milwaukee because they've been beaten up on really bad teams. They're coming off games where they scored 132 and 137 the last 2 games out. And now they've got Detroit, a team they beat 104-90 at home just about a month ago, less than a month ago, actually, probably 2 weeks. So then they got that Clippers game, which is sort of a game that you would think that they would have circled because it'll be the best team they played since they beat Utah 122-118 on the 27th. So on the 25th, I'm sorry. So I think it's a good spot here for Detroit. The lines jump from 7.5 to 8.5 and 9. The line's going up, so I'm going to wait. Maybe get a little bit better line on Detroit. And I think that's a good spot for them, as I can't see Milwaukee being overly excited to play them. And if you're betting Milwaukee right now, you're laying more than you probably will all season long because of their hot streak.
Do you worry about line moves going against you in the NBA?
Not really. Unless there's a reason that there's an injury or something that I have missed, it's going to happen. In football, it's a lot easier to know where the line is going to go, at least in my regard. Maybe it's because there's less games and less teams to worry about. But, when you're counting college as opposed to the basketball. But college basketball, I do have more concerns about it because the information is not as available. But in the NBA, like I said, most of the time a line will move against me because of an injury report, and then the injury report comes out later and it tends to be false. So I'm not too worried about that.
All right, so we move over to the college football side of things here, and we start with the MAC championship game, game 105-106, Miami of Ohio, the winner of the East, Central Michigan, the winner of the West. And we saw Central Michigan take an avalanche of money last week. We talked about that situation with Western Michigan losing. Central Michigan takes a bunch of money, takes care of business, covers the number. Now here they are playing in Detroit as pretty much a touchdown favorite market-wide against the Redhawks.
Yeah, my power rating, pure power rating, is 5. I guess you would give Central Michigan a slight edge based on playing in their home state. But when you take a look at Miami, this is one of those teams that wins the close games. Now, they've had a habit of playing a lot of close games based on the way they've played. But in the past, Miami would be one of those teams that would tend to lose these close games. This year, I believe they're undefeated in one-score games this season. I believe they're 4-0, whereas Central is 1-1. So that's something you have to take into account here. The Miami record has been pretty impressive, but, their losses have been to the teams outside of the MAC. Playing inside of the MAC, they lose to Western Michigan by 22, and Central also lost to Western Michigan during the regular season. And then last time out, Miami loses to Ball State. So part of me thinks there might be some value on Miami just based on the season, but it's a team that has been very fortunate in these one-score games. So I think the line's a little bit inflated that way. So the line right now, you're looking at basically 7 across the board. I don't really see any value. I think that's probably where it should be.
Yeah, I've got this one 7. I gave Central Michigan a point for home field. Mount Pleasant, certainly closer to Detroit than Oxford is. So, shorter travel for the Central Michigan fan base, the students, so on and so forth. What's really interesting here to me is that, you've got this Central Michigan team that 6-1 straight up and ATS over their last 7 games. Miami, you can throw out the Ball State game to a degree, I guess, because that game didn't matter to them at all last week. But a lot of people are going to remember that Akron game where they were favored by 4 touchdowns, won that game by 3, and quite frankly, could have easily lost that game. Maybe there is some value here on Miami with that game kind of lingering in people's minds. The other thing that's interesting about this game to me, the total of 54 is kind of interesting because Miami of Ohio, not a great offensive team. We've known that most of the year. Generally one of the better defensive teams here in the MAC throughout the season. I feel like a total in the mid-50s, kind of suggests that this is a better type of game flow for Central Michigan, but I don't think I'll have a bet on side or total here either.
Yeah, I agree. The total tells you that Central Michigan is probably going to control the game. But not enough value there for me to play it.
Well, I will say this, though, and this is something we'll be able to talk about next week. We should know a lot of the bowl matchups. Regardless of which team wins this game, looks like the MAC is very much going to be a fade in the bowl season here again.
Yes, and if you take a look at the records of each team in non-conference games this year, I believe the SEC was the best. The Mountain West did very well, actually, which is a surprise. But once again, the MAC, even worse than normally, was terrible in games outside of conference play. And that's usually, you know, I've never been very good in the bowl games because it's you know, you would expect certain teams to have some motivation. But until you're actually there and you're talking to the kids and, you know, see the preparations, everybody takes it a little bit differently. I know San Diego State's been one of those teams for years where the coach doesn't care about the bowl game. And so they're always, you know, pretty lousy in the bowls. But, yeah, it's something you need to pay attention to. But right off the board, I think if you were, you know, I don't want to give away all my secrets, but if you were to just bet against the MAC teams as soon as the lines come out, I think you'd be putting yourself in pretty good spots.
I don't know if any MAC teams are going to draw a Power 5 team, but I think I saw the MAC was 2-19 straight up against Power 5 or something like that here this year. So you know, I don't think they're going to draw any. I think they'll only be playing Group of Fives, but they'll be playing Group of Fives from, you know, Conference USA. That's always a really popular matchup. The Sun Belt, which is, you know, pretty top heavy this year, but not a bad conference. So keep that in mind here, that the MAC not particularly strong in the bowl season. We jump to a much better game here, the SEC championship game in Atlanta, Georgia and LSU. LSU 7 or 7.5 out there, depending on where you look. Total in the mid-50s here, 54.5 to 55.5. Basically the range here for this one with Georgia and LSU. LSU's in the playoff no matter what. Georgia has to win to get in the playoff, but both of these teams certainly motivated to win the SEC conference here. What do you think about this one, Brian?
Yeah, this is one I'm excited to see this game. I think Georgia's being a little bit discounted here. A lot of people have talked about their offense, and the offense hasn't put up the points that some of these other teams have. And I firmly agree. You take a look at their best scoring outputs on the season. They were against Murray State, Tennessee, Georgia Tech, and Vanderbilt, the weaker teams. So you don't expect them to score a lot of points here. But that defense for Georgia is awfully tough. They only allow 2.5 yards per carry. On the season, nobody's thrown for 300 yards against them. That's something to be pretty, it's been pretty impressive. But then again, most of their success has been against the weaker teams. You take a look at LSU, and LSU has put up 300 passing yards against everybody. The only team that they haven't was Florida at 293. So that's where the game comes down to, I believe, is will LSU be able to have that success against Georgia? I think Georgia may be able, you know, only allowing 2.5 yards a carry, they may be able to make LSU more of a one-dimensional team than they have been on the season so far. You know, you take a look at some of the games LSU's played against A&M. They only had 3.3 yards a carry. That was the lowest on the season, 3.4 Mississippi State. But even in those games, the offense is able to have success. So if Georgia can compete defensively in the passing game here, I think they are right into this game. If there's a 7.5 out there, there's a few, but not many. I would recommend playing the 7.5 with Georgia because, and you know, Georgia loses this game, they're out of the national championship. LSU loses this game, they're still in it. I don't think any of the top three are going to drop out if they happen to lose this week, unless you're Clemson and you lose to a far inferior team. I think it's all set, and we're just looking for the number four, which will be Georgia, if they win this one.
Yeah, I mean, my pure power rating on this game is 6. I did give Georgia a point, I think, for home field here because, you know, again, they're in the same state, and also they're very accustomed to playing in this game, whereas LSU has been an observer while Alabama's been playing in this game. So, you know, Georgia, very familiar with this setting. Their fan base will show up, I'm sure. So I gave them a point. So I've got this one down around 5. So at 7, I'm probably not going to be interested. At 7.5, may take a piece of Georgia here. Again, my worry, you know, pretty much what you alluded to there, if Georgia has to score points, this game can get away from them. If their pass defense plays well, they can hang around because Georgia's just not an explosive offense. If they control the football, don't turn it over, shorten the game almost the way that option teams like to do you know, with that Georgia short passing game, maybe that's how they stick around in this thing. But I agree. I think this line is a little bit inflated with the perception of LSU and just how dominant they've been. But again, at 7.5, I would look to take Georgia at 7. Very difficult to do anything with this one. One more college football game to talk about here, the Big Ten Championship. This one is a rematch, unlike the previous two games we discussed, Wisconsin and Ohio State. And this line's coming down, Brian. Ohio State from 17.5 to as low as 15.5 out there in the market. That 15.5 at Pinnacle, also at Matchbook, suggests the sharp money on the Badgers here.
Yeah, I see that. And that's something that kind of, well, when you take a look at a power rating here, you know, basically I'm looking at Ohio State probably being 13 points better on a neutral here. And so I understand why that's coming down here. But when you take a look at, you know, Ohio State over the season, they've been awfully impressive. I said all along that I think Ohio State's the best team in the country. They beat Wisconsin in another game last time they played them 38-7. That was back when we remember Wisconsin came into that game. I believe they might have been undefeated. And basically, it was a non-contest. You know, Wisconsin wasn't able to have any success at all in the air game, throwing for 108 yards. On the ground, they struggled, which they don't normally do. In fact, when you take a look at Wisconsin on the season on running the football against Ohio State, 2.4 yards per carry, and that's a big difference from the three teams that they played right after that. Iowa, Nebraska, and Purdue were looking at 6.5, 7.1, 7.3. So that 2.4 could be considered as an outlier. They had 3.6 against Northwestern, another team with a pretty good run defense. So if Ohio State can hold Wisconsin down in the run game again, you know, I could see this easily covering for Ohio State. So from a power rating standpoint, I understand where the line's going down. But Ohio State's one of those teams, and if you've watched them this year, they could pile up points in a hurry. And I'm not so sure this Wisconsin team can against that Ohio State defense. Is if you take a look at you know, the best teams that they have played on the season, they did get that 35-14 win third week of the season against Michigan. But overall, you know, when they've played the better defenses, Michigan State 38-0, they were plus 2 in turnovers. So Michigan, they were plus 4 in turnovers. So keep that in mind when they played those teams. They won the turnover battle by a margin. And that was why they were able to score a lot of points. So even though my number says there's slight value on Wisconsin here, if it continues to go down, I may have a play here on Ohio State.
Yeah, my pure power rating on this one's 15.5. I give Ohio State a point and a half for home field here. Again, they're accustomed to playing in Indianapolis. It's only a 2.5-hour drive west from Columbus, all on the same freeway. Very easy for the Buckeyes to be there. And we all know that Ohio State's fan base travels extremely well. We'll see if Wisconsin's does with more of a 5.5-hour type trip for them. The thing about this game that I'm a little bit miffed about, I get the total going up a little bit from 52.5. I think going as high as 57 here is a little bit high. You know, Wisconsin's scoring some points here of late, but Ohio State's a much better defense than Nebraska, much better defense than Purdue. Wisconsin just kind of out-muscled and manhandled Minnesota. Ohio State struggles against the pass. They don't struggle against the run. So that's the thing that I wonder how Wisconsin moves the football here with a whole lot of effectiveness in this game. And for Ohio State, this game's all about surviving and advancing and protecting Justin Fields. You're going to see a lot of Dobbins, probably even more of Master Teague than you've seen in a lot of their games here so far this season. So I don't really see Ohio State, you know, being as explosive on offense in this game as they have been throughout most of the season. I think that this total's probably peaked now at 57, and I may step in front of the line move here and come back on the under.
Well, my only concern is the Ohio State defense. They're able to score points. They're not as dominant as Alabama's was a couple years ago when they were averaging basically a defense over special teams touchdown a game. But this Ohio defense is extremely dominant. And so you always have the possibility of a defensive score here, and that's something that I would be concerned with. If Wisconsin cannot run the football and has to start throwing the football, then they're in trouble. So we'll see how it goes. If you were looking for an under, I would think the first half under would probably work a little bit better. That way, if Wisconsin's in the game, they can control the football a little bit better. And in the second half, if they're behind, it could possibly get away from them.
All right, so we move to Sunday here. We move to the professional ranks, and we start by taking a look here, Brian, at game 141-142, the Panthers and the Falcons. Carolina, of course, relieving Ron Rivera of his duties here this week, and not really much of an impact in the betting market in terms of the line for this game with Atlanta. 3-point favorite. Maybe there was some speculation of that to bump this number from -2 up to -3, but Brian, do you feel like Rivera being gone alters your handicap in any way?
Not really. I don't understand why they fired him, to be honest with you. He's had worse years than this, where I'm surprised he lasted. But, you know, this is a team that's 2-5 in one score games. They haven't had the coin flip games go for them this year. But, you know, I've got these two teams rated equal, which would mean the power ratings are saying that basically the line should be where it is right now. Carolina obviously comes into the season expecting to go to the playoffs. They lose their quarterback, who's, you know, not their best offensive player, but their second best offensive player. The running back's tremendous. And I thought actually Carolina played about what they should, and to let the coach go, I was a little bit surprised by that. They do play, you have to play Seattle and New Orleans, but they do get them both at home to end the season. And New Orleans is in week 16. So that's, you never know what the situation is with the Saints. Maybe they'll be resting somebody at that point. But I think Carolina should not have made the move. And the line's where it should be. If I could get, you know, 3.5 here, I'd probably be on Carolina, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think it'll stay at 3. It opened 1.5 has gone up slightly, but just a little bit surprised. I think they pulled the chain a little bit too soon in that regard, because this team just hadn't had a lot of luck. But it's been in every game.
All right, so we step down to a 425 game here. We'll talk about a couple of them. Game 153-154, Pittsburgh and Arizona. The Steelers, 2.5-point road favorite here. Some extra juice on those 2.5s, taking on the Cardinals. And I guess you sort of wonder here, you know, they got that huge win over Cleveland, big win, not just within the division, but also within the playoff picture. Do they have a setback here, or do they beat an Arizona team that, you know, really had some close losses, but then came out after the bye and just looked really bad against the Rams?
Yeah, I think a lot, it's just could have been a really big spot here for Arizona if they had to put up some kind of fight last week. Because coming off of, the games that they had played, San Francisco twice, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, they had a tough schedule there. You know, Tampa Bay is one of those teams that look better on paper than they seem to do in a game because of all the interceptions they seem to throw. But they're coming off a rough schedule. You know, the Rams are a good team. They're just not the team that we saw last year. And now they're taking a step down here. They get to play Pittsburgh, Cleveland, in the next 2 weeks at home. So I would expect a really good effort out of Arizona here. This is probably going to make my card. I like the situation here going against Baltimore, coming off of 3 straight divisional games, including that big revenge game against Cleveland last week. When you take a look at, you know, the Steelers in one-score games, they started the year going 0-2 in the first two, or 0-3, excuse me. But since then, they've gone 1-2-3-4-5-0 in one score games. So they've been a lot luckier as of late in these one score games. And I watched these Pittsburgh games. I'm not overly impressed. This guy, Duck, he's got a little bit more upside than the prior quarterback. But this is still a team in Pittsburgh that I don't really trust offensively. Their defense has to win the games for them. And I think there's some value here on Arizona. And when you take a look at teams playing conference and non-conference games, normally your better teams take the non-conference a little bit later. And I talked about the 3 divisional games that Pittsburgh just played after they play Arizona. They play Buffalo, the Jets, and Baltimore, two of those teams being playoff teams, all three being AFC. So, you know, I spoke to Marco D'Angelo the other day about this, and he's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and he says this is the kind of game that the Steelers traditionally lose, is this game that they shouldn't be fully invested in, and I think that's going to happen here.
Brian Leonard, professional handicapper over at WagerTalk.com. What's going on over at the website right now, man?
Today they're doing videos, so I'll be going in for doing videos. Also, in the last week or so, I started doing a daily free pick video on Twitter at B. Leonard Sports, and I don't do a lot of selling on there. I just quickly get to what we've got going on and give you some free plays. Yesterday we had a nice winner in the NBA, so hopefully we can continue that. And yeah, it's starting to turn around for me. Bad month of November. It was just horrendous, and by far the worst month we've had all year long. So, but it's starting to turn around. Seeing the card better, winning two of the last 3 days. So, let's get some more winning going for you today. And everybody have a nice, exciting weekend. Hopefully, make some money.
Once again, it's Brian Leonard over at WagerTalk.com. Videos today, and of course, that free pick over on Twitter at BLeonardSports. Brian, appreciate your time as always, man. Thank you so much for joining me, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks again. Everybody stay warm and have a good week.